Praise the Lord. All right, we're gonna want to try and share this, see if I can get this. I think it worked last week. Can you see that?
Yes.
All right, thank you. I want to pick up with Walking with God in 2024. This is part two. This is going to be a series throughout the month of January because, as I said last week, we find this whole, I could call it a concept, but it's not a concept. It's a reality from cover to cover, from the book of Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation. We find people walking with God. And I started with sharing last week with Genesis chapter 5 as we looked at we looked at Enoch, the father of Methuselah, and the scripture told us that after Enoch begot Methuselah, that Enoch walked with God 300 years. We said last week that, as far as we know, Enoch walked with God longer than anybody else in human history. He had sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. And so it reads, so all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And it says it again so that we're clear. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. So last week we looked at this, and we understood that in order for Enoch to walk with God, Enoch would have had a revelation of God. Amen. And so no one can walk with God unless God reveals himself to them. And walk with him. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so God gave Enoch a revelation of himself, upon which Enoch responded by walking with God. And so at some point after 300 years, this scripture in Genesis tells us what God did. God took Enoch.
Mm-hmm.
This scripture is interesting because it tells us what God did. It tells us what Enoch did. God took Enoch, but Enoch walked with God, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This passage, however, does not tell us why God took Enoch. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't tell us why Enoch walked with God, right? For that, we have to go to the New Testament. Now here it says, and we'll do that in a second, but here it says that Enoch did not die because God took him.
Okay, that's right.
Right. Now the question becomes, why did God take Enoch? Well, for that, we go to the book of Hebrews. It reads in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken away. Now, this by faith is also, would be the reason that Enoch walked with God. That's what Genesis doesn't tell us. It simply tells us that he walked with God.
Mm-hmm.
But Enoch, by faith, he walked with God.
Mm-hmm.
That was the method. That was the how it got done. Says here that by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found. That's what happened to Enoch in Genesis. We understand that. But here we get the why. It says, because God had taken him, and here's the why. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Mm.
Enoch's walking with God pleased God. Mm-hmm. And that's why God took Enoch. Okay? Now, but again, we say Enoch walked with God, but by faith Enoch walked with God. And what he was doing, faith was the vehicle that caused him to walk with God. He believed in God. And that's where we get the second part. And these two scriptures go together. Verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. These two together, it says that Enoch pleased God, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what do we learn from that? We learn that everyone who has faith is pleasing to God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where does that faith come from?
God.
Thank you. It comes from God. God is the great initiator. He's the author and the finisher of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians says, we walk by faith, not by sight. See? And so if we walk by faith, how did Enoch walk with God? He walked by
faith.
Right? Mm-hmm. The faith that God gave him in revealing himself to Enoch. Because how mm-hmm. does faith come? Faith comes by hearing,
mm-hmm.
and hearing by hope. If God doesn't reveal himself to you, you can't have faith in him. And so Enoch, by faith, was taken away. It says he was taken away. We understand by faith, he walked with God and was taken away and did not see death. He says, what's so beautiful about this is because the same way that Enoch avoided death, by faith and walking with God, is the same way you and I are going to avoid. He avoided temporal death. But we avoid eternal death.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because by faith, we walk with God now, and he's coming to take us unto himself, and we're not going to experience eternal death, but eternal life. And so this is the picture that we see here in the book of Genesis as it was laid out. Now, it goes all out the scriptures. People walking with God. Obviously, people not walking with God. There's no indication here that in Genesis that Methuselah walked with God. That Methuselah was the son of Enoch. Now, Enoch walked with God, but there's no mention of Methuselah walking with God. And then Methuselah had Lamech, and Lamech was the father of Noah. There's no record of Lamech walking with God. But let's look at the next verse here, Hebrews 11:7, because we're going to move from Enoch to Noah. It says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things to come, of things yet unseen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Well, guess what? This Noah, who by faith prepared an ark for the saving of his household, just like Enoch walked with God, Noah, the great grandson of Enoch, Genesis tells us in Genesis 6:9 that Noah walked with God. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man and right man, a perfect in his generation. What does that mean? It means that the revelation that Noah had of God at the time, Noah walked and respected and revered God concerning that revelation. He agreed with the revelation God had given of himself. He received the revelation. He walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So the great-grandson of Enoch walked with God. Now, what's interesting about this is that Enoch was spared the temporal death, but also, and Enoch walked with God, but also Noah was spared the judgment of the flood,
mm-hmm.
because he walked with God. What do we see there? We see that people who walk with God avoid the judgment of death in one fashion or another, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because both of these were delivered. And we see with the church, those who walk with God, when we get into the book of Revelation, you say, we're going to get into the book of Revelation. We're in the book of Genesis right now. How long is this series going to be? Well, I don't know. But, but Jesus says, those, who do not spot their garments are going to walk with me in white. Hello, that's what Jesus said in the book of Revelation. We're not there yet. We'll get there. That's some time down the road. Okay. What's also interesting about these two characters, Enoch and Noah, is that they were both to a certain extent given understanding of judgment or things to come. Now, here we read that Noah, being divinely warned of things yet unseen, God told him a flood was coming. Well, but Enoch named his son Methuselah, and Methuselah, amongst other things, it means man of the dart or man of the javelin, or when he dies, the flood will come. Spoke prophetically of an event. And that event was an event of judgment. We see that those who walk with God had understanding of things to come. So Enoch prophesied of a coming judgment in naming his son Methuselah. Noah built an ark to avoid the judgment of the flood. And then as we move from Noah to then Abraham, if you'll remember, God in Genesis 18 comes and reveals himself. Now, he had been revealing himself to Abraham, but he comes to Abraham and he says to the angels he's talking to, he says, "Shall I tell Abraham what I'm about to do?"
Mm-hmm.
What was he about to do?
He would destroy.
Thank you. He was going to Sodom and Gomorrah, judgment again. So Noah had an understanding of what was coming. Abraham had an understanding of what was coming. The church today has an understanding. Why? Because we're walking with God by faith that a judgment is coming. You see that? Do you see
right.
those consistencies? Okay, so all of this is laid out in the scriptures. Now we read over it, you know, you're reading the scriptures and we got our list, we're trying to read through the Bible in a year. That's okay, that's fine. But while we're reading, let's get some understanding while we're in there, right? So in Genesis chapter 17, so we've done Enoch, Noah, let's look at Abram. This is before his name was changed. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. And so here we have the revelation of God. The revelation that God gives. Whenever God comes to man, he has to reveal himself to man in order for man to know him. Well, in this scripture, we're told that the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, "I am Almighty God." Remember, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that he is.
Mm-hmm.
God comes to Abraham and says, "I am."
Mm-hmm.
Abraham believed God. He believed the revelation that God gave him himself. And God says to him, "Walk before me and be blameless." In other words, live in a manner. Behave yourself. Exercise yourself. Carry yourself with respect to my presence in your life. Indeed, my presence in creating all things. Right? So, he tells him to walk before him. God reveals himself. Man's responsibility then is to what? Walk with God. Remember Genesis chapter 3? God came walking in the garden, looking for his Adam and Eve. But they weren't walking with God. What were they doing? They were hiding from God. Why? Because they were overcome by their sin.
Mm-hmm.
But God, who came expecting to walk with his creation then, brought about his salvation and revealing himself to people, to Enoch, to Noah, to Abraham, to others, then the whole nation of Israel, so that they might walk with God and be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did this mean for Abraham in particular? When God shows up to him and says, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless." Well, more specifically for Abraham, who lived in a time when everyone was worshiping idols. And God didn't reveal himself to you, the whole world was worshiping idols. They worshiped the sun, moon, the stars. They worshiped volcanoes, you name it. They worship anything. They worship thunder. They didn't know what thunder was. They didn't know what lightning was. Now, don't get it too crazy because, you know, I saw some people over in Iceland at the volcano that's erupting. These people are dancing. These people are dancing and acting like they're worshiping while the volcano is spewing lava all over the place. I look at these people like, look at Jesus, what the madness is this going on here? And these people worshiping this thing, I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, what are you doing? Anyhow, for Abraham, in a time of when the whole world was overcome with idolatry, what God was revealing to him, the way he was to respond, this walk before me and be blameless, simply meant this: don't worship idols. Don't worship idols. I am God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that in 1 John 5:21, this is the last verse of the epistle of John. And what does he say to New Testament saints? Keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. Interesting. But we don't have idols today. You know, those people worship little, they had these little things that they would make and they would say, this is my God. You know, Israel even did it when Moses took too long up on the mountain.
Right.
Aaron said, I threw the gold in the fire and this calf jumped out. Yeah, because Israel wanted something they could see. They want to worship something they could see. And this idolatry, it goes from cover to cover too. Yeah. But what are some of our idols today? Because we do have idols. Number one. The number one idol in America's God.
Money.
Money. Number one. People will do all kinds of things to get it. And they won't walk with God in the process of going to get what their idol, what they're emulating or what they want, right? So money, pleasure, tradition, power. Some people worship other people. Cars, positions, guns, you name it. There are all kinds. And some people still do worship the cosmos. I mean, they worship the sun, moon, and stars still today. Nature, animals, people worship all kinds of things. Well, God appeared to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And here we read this beautiful scripture. I love it because here we have God appearing and then we have Abraham's response. It reads, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And then this is what Abraham does. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now we don't know how God appeared to Abraham, but however he appeared to him, it was so profound. It so changed Abraham that in a world where everyone was worshiping idols that they could see, they could look up at the sun, they see the sun moving in the sky every day, they saw the moon, they saw the stars, and they were worshiping all these things. Abraham was building altars to God. And as far as we know, he was the only one who was building altars to God. And Abraham was walking with God in doing so.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So Abraham, Genesis 15:6, when God told him to go out and count the stars, if you can number them, so shall your seed be. And the Bible says, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So just like by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham was the next one. If you read Hebrews 11, Abraham is the next one they talk about. And they're going through the book of Genesis. That's what they're doing. As a matter of fact, they're going through all the Old Testament. In that scripture in Hebrews 11. And so, Abraham believed and respected the revelation that God gave to him of himself. He no longer worshiped false idols. How do we know that Abraham was an idol worshiper, you ask? Well, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 2, we read, and Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Noah, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. So Abraham's father served other gods. In that day, where there was no other gods, I mean, there was no revelation of God, guess who you served? You served your father's God. You grew up in his house. You worship his gods. That's the way it went. And God is saying that about Abraham's past right here. Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Noah, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then God says this, then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river. Basically, he said, I took your father Abraham and brought him out of idolatry. I did that. Led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. So God was the one who delivered Abraham from idol worship, because that's all they knew at the time. Right? Mm-hmm. And when God does that in Abraham's life, Abraham begins to walk with God. A person who walks with God experiences God's constant revelation of himself to them. I'm reminded of a scripture in, what is it, John chapter 14 or 15, where Jesus said to the disciples that if anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments, and I will come to him, my Father and I will come to him, and I will manifest myself to him. I will reveal, I will disclose myself to him. Mm-hmm. Well, how was it in Abraham's life? When you look at the story of the character of Abraham, you find this out about God. God revealed himself multiple times to Abraham. It wasn't just one time. Oh, yeah, 40 years ago, God came. No, no, no. And that's the same way it is in the life of the Christian. It's the same way it is in the lives of God's people. He is constantly revealing himself. So we just saw where the Lord appeared to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He appears to him again in Genesis 18, where we read, then the Lord appeared to him by the timber trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him, the Lord and two angels. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. So God reveals himself generally to the whole world every day.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows forth his handiwork.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it says. Day unto day utters speech. Day unto day is talking to us. Night mm-hmm. unto night shows forth knowledge. The whole world has been bombarded by the revelation of God. Mm-hmm. Now, it's general revelation, but it's revelation nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say, I remember when I was 8 years old going outside, looking up at the heavens, looking up at the clouds, and I said, there to be a God somewhere.
Amen. Amen.
Boy, and the little boy in the streets of D.C. with all the craziness, gunfire, people being raped, shot, all the beat down, all of that. I went outside and said, there's to be a God somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because we sang in school, over my head, yeah, there must be a God somewhere. Right? We used to sing that as with little children. Well, so the general revelation is out there, but to Abraham comes the specific revelation. The specific revelation. And that was God appearing to him. And this is the account where God comes to him and tells him about the judgment that he had in store for Sodom and Gomorrah that he was contemplating. So general revelation came to everyone then, comes to everyone now. Specific revelation came to Abraham then. Specific revelation comes to us today. What specific revelation? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Specific revelation. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's John 14, verse 9. John the Baptist said this of Jesus in the Gospel of John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. That's specific revelation, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't speak it to everybody. He spoke it to these disciples of his. So now we read also in Hebrews chapter 1, God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. So God had different means of revelation. Here it was the prophets. To Abraham, God appeared to him in some form or fashion. To Enoch, God appeared to him in some form. Adam and Eve, he appeared, revelation, he revealed himself to them. Well, here in time past, he had spoken through the prophets. Some people are like, why don't we have prophets the way they have all in the Old Testament? Because we got way better than the Old Testament. Nobody want the Old Testament. In these days, he is spoken to us by his Son. We have
Son.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Jesus Christ has come.
Amen.
He was appointed heir of all things. He also made the worlds. Over and over and over again, we read in the Old Testament, Hebrews 9:26. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared.
Mm.
He has appeared. God has revealed himself again through his Son to put away sins by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus is the final, is the full revelation mm-hmm. that God has. There'll never be any prophets, you know, all of that crazy bit in the Old Testament. No. It's Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime.
Yes.
All night long. People say, but I said, be quiet. I want to hear Jesus.
Amen.
Look, because the revelation says, that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So anybody out there prophesying, they're not talking about Jesus. Talk to the man. Talk to the man. Because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So God is faithful to reveal himself. And the full revelation, Colossians says, that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the full and final revelation of God. If you see me, people say, I want to see the Father. If you see me, you see the Father. Oh, God. All right. So, did I read that? Yeah, he then would have. Okay. And then on to Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. It has appeared to all men. Now, Jesus is the specific revelation that comes to all men. This is interesting because just like in the Old Testament, the word of God that came to Israel, you know, when they went up on Mount Sinai, God gave him his word. That mm-hmm. went to that nation, and through Israel, it would, people could access that word. The whole world could access that word. Well, here this revelation comes to the nation of Israel, and then it appears to all men. Jesus Christ. That's why we preach the gospel. Jesus said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. This revelation has come, it's appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that's the walking with God part. That's what's happening here. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's walking with God. We'll get to more and later. Well, with Galatians chapter 5, it says this, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here it says here, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Zealous for good works. So here we have the revelation now. Now, what do we say in the Old Testament? God reveals himself to man. And what is man's responsibility? To walk with God. To walk with God. And then lastly, Titus chapter 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now, all those things right now, that's what Christians are not to be, because that's what we were in the world, right? So we're not to be that way. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, here comes the revelation again. Jesus, all of these scriptures are talking about Jesus Christ. When that grace, when that kindness, when that love of God toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. When God came looking for Adam and Eve, that was mercy.
Mm-hmm.
When he walked in that garden, his creation already had death pass upon it. He didn't have to come. But he came. He came to Enoch and revealed himself. He came to Abraham and revealed himself. And in that revealing, he said, in blessing you, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. And through Abraham comes the Christ, who has the same God who appeared to Abraham, has now appeared to all people.
Mm-hmm.
My. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Thank you.
That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So just like Enoch, Noah, and Abraham, God has appeared to us.
Amen. Amen.
And he's appearing to people every day.
Every day.
I always say, listen, God doesn't change. What he was doing in the book of Genesis, revealing himself so that people can walk with him and be delivered from death, he's doing today. He's doing right now. He's doing everything. That's why this world is continuing, because he is reaping a harvest out of this world. He is bringing his people unto himself. So God has appeared to us, and our responsibility is just like Enoch and Noah and Abraham, is to walk with him. To walk with him. And when we get to the book of Galatians, we're going to see that spread out. I mean, even, I'm not going to get into it now because I'll go on. But we're called to live in a manner that agrees with and pleases God.
Amen.
Why? Because he has revealed himself to us. And he has revealed, and that revelation, we walk in that revelation by faith. We walk with God. And we live a life of faith in God. All right? So more on that next week as we go further in the Old Testament and consider some more, even the whole nation of Israel that was called to walk with God but didn't. Some did. But many didn't. And we'll proceed into the New Testament and beyond. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Any comments or questions as I do with the teaching? Anybody calls here? Here. Amen. I see you now. I couldn't see anybody before. See you, Sister Sherita. God bless you. Amen. And Diane up there. All right. Any comments or questions? Anything we need to do before we wrap this up? Amen. Well, let's pray.
Well, no, Pat, one off-topic announcement. just to let everybody know that, as of yesterday, Kendra is now engaged.
Oh,
that's Kendra?
Kendra, yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Congratulations.
Can we give glory?
Amen.
Can we give glory to God? The family asked for prayers, and y'all need this child get engaged. Amen. Praying, Carl. I remember praying about this.
Amen.
Yes.
We give him thanks and glory.
Amen.
Can he good? Won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Aaron. And believe me, that's quite on topic. Amen. Glory. Quite on topic. Amen. Amen. Who wants to close us out in prayer? Who's going to do it? Anyone? Go ahead.
All right.
Oh, go ahead. Who's that? Go ahead and close us out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that it takes root in our hearts, Lord, and that it brings forth fruit in our lives and spills over, as true prosperity does, over into the lives of other people. We thank you, Father, for your blessings upon us, for everyone who was in you, that you cover them this week, that you cover them with your continued love and mercy and grace. And in Jesus' name, Lord, we love you. We give you praise and glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Well, thanks again for coming on, Saints. We'll see you next week, or we'll see you at Tuesday prayer.
Amen.
God bless you all.